Welcome, everyone, to tonight's Citizens Climate University. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and a happy 2018 to everyone. And we're lucky enough to have some special guests tonight that are really going to help all of us walk through looking ahead and how to lead a successful site visit with our members of Congress. Tonight, we're very lucky to have three wonderful guest speakers with us. We have Ellie Sparks, CCL's Field Development Director. Ellie's been committed to the success of CCL volunteers working to start new chapters in communities throughout the United States for the past 7 years, and she's hosted CCL's weekly introductory calls and trains volunteers around the world to lead climate advocate training workshops, and also works closely with volunteers in coal and agricultural communities, ensuring that all voices find a place at the solutions table. With us tonight as well, we have Dr. Liesel Delbona, who is trained at the University of Michigan as a surgical pathologist and has practiced in a large community hospital there in Traverse City, Michigan since 2000. Lisa serves as a co-leader for the Northern Michigan chapter, as well as a liaison to Representative Bergman, and is a member of the CCL health team, as well as Practice Green Health and U.S. Climate Health Alliance. Also with us tonight, presenting will be Tom Moyer, a mechanical engineer working for HDT Robotics on explosive ordnance disposal robots. He also teaches elementary school science to fifth graders at the McGillis School in Salt Lake City and has a BS in mechanical engineering from Stanford and an SM in mechanical engineering from MIT. Thank you all for being on the line tonight. And tonight, we're really hoping that participants will be able to learn from and highlight best practices from several CCL groups that have hosted successful meetings with their members of Congress, and then really learn from that and prepare for and create their own in-district lobby meeting plans to bring in their own member of Congress and deepen that critical relationship. So with that, I'll turn it to you, Ellie. I'll thank you again for making it to tonight's webinar. We're so honored that all of you are here.
Awesome. Thank you, Brett. And welcome, everybody. So we are going to cover 6 items tonight. And the first 3 are covering site visits and what they are, why to host a site visit, and what to consider. I'll be taking us quickly through those 3 points. And then we're going to turn it over to Liesel Delbona, who will cover our example in Michigan, and then Tom Moyer, who will share his experience in Utah, and then we'll open it up for Q&A at the end. So save any questions that come up for you while you hear Liesel and I speak. All right, so site visits. A site visit is kind of like a field trip for a member of Congress. It's bringing a member of Congress out to the district or the state to meet with people in the state, people in the district. And there's kind of 3 categories of people that we are considering. One would be people who are actually involved with solving the climate crisis. So it might be people who are building renewables or who are using renewable energy, or it might be, as we can see in this example here, farmers who are already doing farming in such a way that they are extracting and storing carbon in soil and plants. Now, a second type of category here for us for a site visit is children. I love that picture of Carlos Curbelo visiting the fifth graders in Homestead, Florida. So these are children, and we're going to hear some about our Michigan teenagers, who are either thanking a member of Congress for their leadership in solving the climate crisis or asking their member of Congress to become a climate hero. And I love thinking about the children being involved in that way. And I think you'll hear how it is empowering to the children. And it really is a beautiful political cover for a member of Congress. I mean, really, can you argue with children who are saying, thank you for taking care of our future, or please take care of our future? The third type of field trip, of site visit, would be to people who are already impacted by climate change. And that is very specific to your state or district. So, of course, in Florida, it would be frontline sea level rise. You know, in Utah, it would be skiing loss, loss of winter. So those are the different types. And we are not going to be spending a lot of time on these 2 beautiful examples, but those, we are seeing site visits popping up in groups across the country. And you'll see in those pictures, Representative Faso, upstate New York, who went to visit with a farmer who is farming in a way that extracts and stores carbon. And then you see Carlos Curbelo visiting local fifth graders. And it was actually early on in his process of considering signing on to the Chris Gibson House resolution, climate change is real, Congress needs to lead. Carlos Curbelo was on the fence with that, but he was speaking out in the district about climate change. And one of our volunteers, who was a fifth grade teacher, got 200 fifth graders to write thank you notes to him and actually arranged to have Carlos visit the school and receive those thank you notes. So those are two examples. And like I said, we'll hear from Michigan and Utah. So why do we want to host a meeting, a site visit for a member of Congress? Well, number one, there are roadblocks that you may have encountered in conversations with your member of Congress, things that they are a bit obsessed about, they can't sort of move past to evolve into a climate hero. Let's dismantle some of those roadblocks in a very visual and visceral way by taking them out to meet people in the district. The second thing is to actually create that motivating experience. I just have to liken this to field trips. I remember being in school and just like in the classroom in elementary school and, oh, there's another day in the classroom. And then we had the field trip and we got to hop on the bus and go to the farm and pick some pumpkins. And boy, that just energized the day for us. So in a way, it's like that. It's a boost of energy. A member of Congress gets out and touches and feels things, shakes people's hands, hears stories. Then, of course, what we're doing in a third way is to demonstrate the political will that's growing in the district. So instead of just the same CCLers, the little lobby team, the four or five of you who are meeting on some kind of regular basis with your member of Congress coming yet again, here you are expanding the understanding of that member of Congress that it's more than just the four or five of you. It's more than just the CCL group. It's other people in the community who aren't even in your CCL chapter who are caring about this and wanting the member of Congress to step up and lead. And lastly, it is that relationship building effort that we do in CCL. I love when I started out volunteering, hearing Mark Reynolds say, we're betting the ranch on relationships. And so in a way, CCL is facilitating this beautiful connection between a member of Congress and other people in the district. We are evolving into a facilitator here. It is not just us anymore who want to speak to the member of Congress. It's these other folks in the district. So we're betting the ranch on you. I love that slide. So for tonight, our two examples will be from Michigan with Representative Jack Bergman, and Lisa Del Buono is going to talk to us about that. And then we'll have Tom Moyer in Utah talking to us about the work that his team did in bringing along Representative Mia Love. As you listen to Lisa and Tom share their stories, I've got some questions you might keep in mind. Logistical questions, like how did they schedule the visit? With whom did they partner? Farmers, business owners? How did they incorporate the local media if the member of Congress wants that? So not assuming that the member of Congress wants the local media. But if the member of Congress does, how did they incorporate that? How did they facilitate the connection between the member of Congress and the people in the community? So this new role of facilitating, relationship facilitating. How did they develop the invitation list? Who else heard about it, wanted to be there? How did they manage any kind of growing interest or consider who would be important to invite? And then what roles did CCL volunteers take on in planning this? Now, it could be a very small team or it could be a larger team, but roles like the liaison, we want to keep that in mind, the person who's already coordinating with the member of Congress or their staff members, someone who might be devoted to working with the host site. If you're going to a farm, the person who's connecting with the farmer. If you're going to be doing some media outreach and involving the media, you might have a person tasked with making that connection and facilitating the media. You might have a team of people who are there to help host the actual site visit on that day. There may be endorser volunteers involved as well. And then, of course, you might be looping in the state coordinator and the regional coordinator so that you're making sure you're connecting with other groups who are working with that member of Congress. So looking at these site visits, you'll hear in these stories that it's not just one site visit. It's not a field trip. Again, it's like that school teacher who's teaching something about history and then brings you to the field trip that you're going to visit an historical site. So how does this fit into the bigger picture of this beautiful work that we're doing with members of Congress to move them into courageous acts of leadership? And then listen also for, was this actually transformational? What was the member of Congress doing before CCL groups started building a relationship, which included these site visits? What actions are the member of Congress taking after this site visit, after this comprehensive relationship building effort? I want to just say one thing that we want to keep in mind. A site visit, or for that matter, any kind of work we're doing with a member of Congress within the context of CCL is not an attempt to corner our member of Congress or to put him or her on the record on their stand for climate change. We're not trying to put them in the public and put them on the stand. On the contrary, we're dismantling these roadblocks, facilitating relationships, building political cover so that they can come out and lead courageously. So let's go ahead and bring Lisa in to tell us about Michigan. So Lisa, the floor is yours.
Great. Thanks so much. So tonight I'm going to tell you a little bit about what our chapters have been doing in the First District of Michigan. We have four chapters in our district. We cover a large area over the Upper Peninsula and the upper part of the Lower Peninsula. And over the summer, we had the opportunity to bring the congressman. You want to show that first slide, Brett? Bring the congressman in for two different site visits. Many of you probably heard about the first one on December's international call. Our TC chapter, our Traverse City chapter, that's where I am, had the good fortune of taking a group of high school students with us for our June lobby day. Their face-to-face meeting with the first-term Republican, Jack Bergman, ultimately resulted in him joining the Climate Solutions Caucus. Prior to this, he had been somewhat hesitant to even admit that climate change was real. And now he's part of the caucus. At the same time, our Traverse City chapter has also arranged for Representative Bergman to meet with several community leaders with ties to our local economy, businesses that are feeling the impact of our changing climate right now. The keys to our success include the following. What is typical of CCL, we're betting the farm on relationships. We established a respectful, ongoing relationship with our member of Congress's office. Clearly, it involved the team, and we tried to play to each person's strength. Every person played a critical role, from volunteers who gathered constituent comment forms to those who actually gave up their opportunity to lobby in order to chaperone the students in D.C. We even had one volunteer who helped with a flat tire on the trip to the D.C. There's no doubt, though, that the magic spark are young people, respectful young people who have been trained by CCL to speak and use their voice to make changes. To briefly recap their story, here's a short video clip.
A group from our high school environmental club decided to make the trip to DC for the CCL June conference and lobby day. In April, we held a fundraiser concert to raise money for the trip. We had music, food, and a silent auction. We raised enough to cover round-trip travel and hotel costs. In June, we left Traverse City early in the morning and arrived in D.C. During the two-day conference, we learned how to effectively lobby our members of Congress. Before we knew it, Lobby Day had arrived Tuesday morning, and we headed for Capitol Hill. We had three meetings, two with our senators who were already on record supporting action on climate change. The big question was how our conversation with Congressman Bergman would go. The congressman welcomed us into his office. We started by thanking him for a specific vote he had taken to support the Great Lakes. Then, one of our members told a personal story of how a changing climate has had an impact on her family. By being respectful and clear, we helped the congressman to be engaged. Then we made our ask. Will you commit to joining the House Bipartisan Climate Solutions Caucus? He thought for just a minute and then said, I'll tell you what. Yes, I'm going to make a commitment to you today to join the caucus. After some big thank yous, we went out into the hall to celebrate.
And actually what he goes on to say, and I probably shouldn't have cut it off, is he says this is important because Representative Bergman was hesitant to admit that climate change was real and human-induced. So this didn't just happen overnight. There was a lot of work that went into it prior to them going to D.C. It started really on the day that the freshman class of representatives was inaugurated in January of 2017, when Danny Richter went to each new member's office to welcome them and introduce them to CCL. Danny met with Representative Bergman's chief of staff that day, and he was so excited about the meeting, he gave me a call right away. And it just so happened that I happened to be going to D.C. for another reason the very following week. So I set up a meeting in D.C. as well, this time with the deputy chief of staff, the legislative director, who ended up being our primary contact person from there on out. And J.B. Parrott joined me in that meeting. And then in February, we had our first face-to-face meeting with Representative Bergman in district. We brought one of the students with us. And the key to that meeting, in my opinion, was what Elizabeth Bell, our regional coordinator, found as an appreciation. Representative Bergman had signed a commitment to civility. And I think it was that connection we made with that appreciation that sets the stage for all our meetings going forward. It moved him, clearly. And then in April, you may remember that there was a climate march in D.C. So I picked up my son, David, who had just finished his first year at University of Michigan, and we headed to the march. And there we were joined by three other constituents from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And again, we met with the legislative director. And then in May, so we're on like our fifth meeting, okay, a couple of constituents from our Houghton chapter, that's again in the UP, met with a young in-district aide, and they brought him some maple syrup and explained that that was at risk because of climate change. This appeared to have a really big impact on the aid. And after that, we kind of thought about it and thought, wouldn't it be cool to bring the congressman in district and have them tour with our local farmers to start so that he could see some of the impacts that were happening. And we have one volunteer, Kelly Lively, who works for one of the local food distributors. And she was able to make all the connections we needed to make it a realistic ask for our June meeting. I should explain that for the June meetings, I actually set up two different meetings. One was for the C Club, and I made a real point of it being the C Club and not CCL. C stands for Students for Environmental Advocacy. And they had the face-to-face meeting with Representative Bergman. And then we, the volunteers, had a separate meeting with the legislative director. And I think it was identifying them as two separate entities that helped us set up both videos. So you heard that he joined the caucus, and you heard him say yes. But after joining the caucus, he really flabbergasted us. You know, he went on to say, what else? What else can I do for you? And the students tried really hard to explain carbon fee and dividend, and one of them kind of was fumbling around a little bit. And it was only time the congressman interrupted, but he did interrupt and he said, you know what? This is what we're going to do. And this was his idea. He said, I'm going to come to your school and you're going to pitch carbon fee and dividend to me like a business proposal. And I'm going to be tough on you and you're going to have to be able to defend your proposal. And we were just stunned, really, really excited. So we came back home and we started preparing. We met about twice a week to do research and to put together the presentation. And really, the students did all of the work, and I simply acted as a guide. I learned tons from them. And then we involved community leaders as well as the high school. And Elliot's parents, was the narrator in the video. His parents worked throughout the community. They own, each of them are business people. And they have a lot of connections. So they were able to get community leaders, different from the community leaders that we set up the tour with, the agriculture people. And they actually served on two different, as basically panels on two different practice sessions for the students. And that did a couple different things. One, it provided the needed guidance for the students. But two, it gave us an opportunity to educate these community leaders about our carbon fee and dividend proposal. And Tom, you might like this. One of them is the founder of U.S. Robotics, Casey Cowell. He later at a party happened to mention that he believes that carbon tax is the best approach to climate change. Anyhow, finally, the other thing Elliot's dad did is he arranged for someone from the Traverse City Public School System to videotape the students and make a documentary. We asked the office if we could film the presentation, but they made it clear that they didn't want us to do that. So we made sure that the camera was very far away when the congressman came in. So here's a small section about the students talking about the practice presentation.
We've had two like practice presentations.
It's funny because the two panels were really different. One of them was a more business panel, the other one was kind of legislative, and that shows a lot in their responses.
As teenagers and high schoolers, we're used to the people around us being pretty invested in us, our parents and our teachers. But when we came into that meeting, these were people who had volunteered their time to be there, but they didn't necessarily have any vested interest in us. So they were pretty critical.
The first one was to local business leaders.
The business people had a lot of questions about the money involved with the policy.
The administrative costs of carbon fee and dividend that we didn't even include. And that's kind of a big overarching topic, and we didn't have it, but we had the research for it, so it wasn't too hard.
You have to prepare for more than just what you're going to present. You have to anticipate questions that are going to come up about the topic, and you've got to be ready.
But yeah, the first one was the big one for changes. So after that, we pretty much went back to the drawing board, rearranged the entire presentation based on their comments.
Then the legislative people were more concerned about our delivery, how we were presenting it.
Trying to make it so that our presentation really connects.
Like pulling at the heartstrings with our presentation instead of doing more facts.
Sometimes you can get way too bogged down on like all the numbers.
And my teachers have taught me this forever. You have to appeal to your audience when you're presenting.
So it's important that we make it connect on a local level. That's something that when it was said, suggested in one of our practice sessions, we were like, aha, yes, that makes perfect sense.
They were both really helpful because Jack Bergman is a businessman turned politician, and so both of those are really important to how he's going to see it.
And I think it's really cool that they took the time out of their day to come and watch us present.
So you can see we all learned tons from this. Anyhow, so everything was all set up to hold the presentation at the school at 3:30 on Wednesday afternoon. And then the Friday before that, I got an email from the scheduler. Representative Bergman had been called back to D.C. on Wednesday. But the cool thing was he still wanted to meet with the students. And could we change the time of the meeting to 8 a.m.? Unfortunately, the school was holding an in-service that morning, and they couldn't allow us to do the presentation at the school. Fortunately, the volunteers rallied around, and we were able to borrow a conference room for the students' presentation. So I'm just going to show you this last clip. It's a little bit noisy, and I'm sorry about that, but the cameraman came in immediately before and then right after the congressman left.
Respectfully and walking in a constructive way with your members of Congress.
I'm feeling really excited, and I think I'm feeling pretty confident about the presentation.
I'm excited. It's actually today, which is awesome. It's been so long in the making, and we're finally here. So
this is really what democracy should be about, and it's really democracy at its finest. And I know that sounds all idealistic.
Go Carpathian Dividend.
One, two, three.
Carpathian Dividend.
It went really well. I think that's the best we've ever presented. Maybe that's just because I had my blinders on.
I think it went absolutely phenomenal. I don't think it could have gone better. It was just absolutely fantastic.
I think we all conquered our nerves and definitely brought a lot of passion. I think that element to the presentation. It was really nice that Representative Bergman didn't have that many questions about the policy, which I think means that we went over it pretty well.
I did not know what to expect, to be honest, but it was just really cool to hear what he had to say and lots of positive reviews.
I'm not sure if he automatically started to support it, but I think we opened his eyes a little bit. He said that he wants to look more into British Columbia, which is a really similar model to what we want. So
he was expressing his love for the environment, love for the UP, very personal about it, which was I did not expect, and it was a great element to the presentation.
We did such a great job presenting. It's an awesome feeling, and it's really nice to have it over.
It met and exceeded my expectations.
So that was just, I can't tell you, it was so much fun. If you get a chance to work with young people, do it. I loved it. Okay, so that was one of our on-site visits by the congressman, but you might remember that a June ask was for the congressman to take a tour of local businesses that were feeling the impacts of the climate. And what we had envisioned was that the congressman would actually go to the farms or go to the wineries, but he explained that he was too busy to do that. So we gathered them at a central conference center at one of the local food distributors. And we had some farmers, some vintners, an owner of one of the wineries, an owner of one of the largest cherry distributors, and a local ski resort owner who actually has done a lot of things in his resort on renewables, and a member of the Chamber of Commerce. The congressman listened attentively for a full hour to them, and he agreed to come back, and he wants to tour the ski resort at a later date. So to finish up, where do we go from here? The next slide. We continue to have meetings with the office. We've had several of them since this time, both in district and in DC, including one face-to-face meeting, as well as the November Education Day. That young in-district aide that we gave the maple syrup to says he wants to attend the local CCL meeting. He hasn't actually made it yet, but we're hoping that he'll do that. That'll be interesting. We've actually set up a conference call with the legislative director in DC so we can continue to talk about our policy. We plan to schedule some follow-up meetings. The congressman has asked that we to meet with the students. And many of the farmers at the time that we gathered them were actually harvesting. So we're trying to bring them back now that it's not harvest time and to get him connected with the owner of the ski resort. And then just to finish up, you know, we've been really lucky that we've been able to show a couple films in kind of a screening film. The Age of Consequences, our Representative Bergman is a Marine. And we invited, well, actually the Houghton chapter invited Admiral Titley to speak to the Michigan Tech University up there. And then we invited the congressman to that, and he said he couldn't make that. We're also going to be showing Saving Snow, so we're going to try it again. We'll see if it goes this time. And then we're still involving students from other areas in our district as well. So thanks for your time and thanks for your attention.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, Lisa. That was amazing. I've seen this twice and I'm like crying when she's got the kids up there telling their story. All right. I'm sure people have questions. So just hang on to those questions or you can post them in the chat. We will circle back to questions after we hear from Tom Moyer with his work with Representative Mia Love in Utah. So, Tom, you've got the floor now.
This is the flyer that Congresswoman Love sent out advertising her Climate Solutions Town Hall. And I can't quite start there. I have to back up a little bit and tell you what steps led to this. This was probably a year in the making, and we didn't know this was a destination, right? We just knew, like everyone else, we were working on her and working on her staff, trying to open up the communication on this topic. So we had a couple of really good meetings with her staffers, and it was clear pretty early on that her staffers, one, her environmental staffer in particular, was on our side and was willing to help us try to persuade his boss. And he also made it clear he doesn't set policy for the office and he can only do so much. But one of the really valuable things he did for us was to suggest who else would be influential with her, who might want to help. So that was one congressman from Illinois. It was a couple of state legislators, Representative Ed Redd from Logan, Utah, and Senator Brian Shiozawa from Salt Lake City, and then a couple of mayors, including the Democratic mayor of Salt Lake County, who she happened to be good friends with, and now turns out to be her general election opponent for 2018. But we told her staffer that we would meet with all of those, or in the case of the congressman from Illinois, who's Bob Dold, we reached out to the CCL liaison to him and got the two staffers to connect. And then ultimately the two members of Congress connected on this. And he turned out, this wasn't known at the time, but he ended up being an early co-sponsor of the Gibson resolution. So that turned out to be a great recommendation. And even some of the people we contacted said they couldn't help for political reasons. All of them were supportive to one degree or another, but even the ones that couldn't help, we were able to drop their names and say, yep, we followed up with every single person you told us to, and here's what they all said. And I know that some of the mayors, our ask to them was, will you call Congresswoman Love and talk to her about climate change? And I know that some of them did because she told us about it later, and that was influential for her because she's a former mayor. And she views mayors as completely nonpartisan, regardless of what party they're in. Their focus is on the needs of their constituents. And she, although she's very Republican and very conservative, views herself as a small town mayor like them. So their voices were particularly influential with her. We also had some of her district staffers at a climate event with Catherine Hayhoe in Utah when she came to town. And I know that was helpful and it sort of built a foundation of us knowing them and knowing their names. So when Congresswoman Love then had her first general town hall open to all of her constituents, we attended that. We had a bunch of CCL members from her district, probably 9 or 10, attend that and all submit questions on climate change. And I know she knew some of us from before that, and her staffers knew some of us, so she took those as friendly questions. I don't think she was super well prepared to answer them. She sort of deflected that onto to air quality, which is always a pressing concern in Utah. And it's an easier topic for legislators to discuss than climate change. But we ended up with generally friendly conversations, and it was clear that this was a topic she was exploring. So the following November lobby day was when she made the offer to us to hold a town hall meeting on climate change. And I think all of our jaws hit the floor when she said that. We said, "You what?" And when we told her district staffers about this, because she hadn't told them, they had the same reaction. She said, "What?" And then they sort of joked, like, she always does stuff like this to us, and then she makes us deal with it. So it was really the district staffers that had to put this event together, and we ended up doing it with them. And that whole planning was really the foundation for our relationship of mutual trust now, where they came to believe that we had their best interests at heart and vice versa. This was the town hall, and making this happen was a significant project and with a lot of steps along the way. Really figuring out what it was they wanted this to be and helping them make it what they were looking for. Her district staffers made it clear that they wanted this to be a successful event. They wanted her to have a good experience with this. And there was actually quite a bit of fear, as you might imagine, for a Republican in Utah, probably the same as any other place, announcing publicly that they're going to have a town hall on climate change is sort of an invitation for extremists on both sides to show up. They made it very clear they did not want a media circus. So they asked us if we would put the word out quietly, which is not easy to do, to get the right people in the room. They also, her staffers suggested that we hold this event in the most liberal corner of her district, which is not a very liberal district, but by Utah standards it is. And along the way in the planning, she met with Jerry Taylor of the Niskanen Center to discuss revenue neutral carbon taxes. And she ended up inviting him to her town hall meeting. At which point we thought, wow, we are in. Like, this looked for a while like it was going to be sort of a trial balloon with her constituents. Now it's looking more like an effort to sell her constituents on this idea. And so we're all trying to make this exactly that, something that's going to resonate with her. And be the success she wants to see. Along this path also, Jay Butera, who had been involved with her staff in DC, had been working with the Years of Living Dangerously team and suggested to them that this might be an event they would want to come film. So that suggestion was made to them, and they spent a couple of weeks thinking that over and then ultimately said yes. At which point we also started thinking, wow, this is no longer a test. This is a decision that's already been made on their part. And now they're happy to have it be put on TV. At the same time, they asked not to have local media there, mostly because they didn't want word getting out too far in advance. There had been a public discussion around new pollution controls at coal-fired power plants in southern Utah a month before, and that attracted something like 600 people, half of whom were coal miners in matching t-shirts who were bussed in from out of town. So that's the backdrop that we're all afraid of. So we're afraid of both too many people in the room and too few people in the room. So we helped both work on possible venues and possible panelists. There were four panelists. One member of the Governor's Office of Energy Development, who's on the left there, Rob Davies, who's a climate scientist from a local university, Jerry Taylor from the Niskanen Center, who flew in from DC, and then Mark Burge on the right, who you can barely see there, is the CEO of an electric vehicle company that I didn't even know existed. An electric vehicle company in Utah. They make a living converting pickup trucks to be plug-in hybrids. So two of those panelists ended up coming from us, which were the climate scientist and Jerry Taylor, and the other two were picked by Congresswoman Lovestaff. Ultimately, of course, they picked them all. These just came from suggestions from us. And they contemplated holding this at a local business, and they were looking at possibly doing it at renewable energy businesses. So there was some effort in reaching out to local businesses also while trying to keep this relatively quiet. To my surprise, some of them said no, because they're so entrenched in a Democratic mindset that they couldn't envision helping a Republican on climate change. And that to me was eye-opening and disappointing, that not everybody who I consider my allies and partners on this had the same goals. So they made it clear that they were really looking for a productive, issue-oriented discussion. And I was really pleased that we were able to deliver that. So we put the word out to every CCL member in her district was invited. And then we reached out as quietly as we could to business leaders, university professors. I even asked, I invited the VP of a local oil company, again, with a bunch of nervousness about who they might tell and where it might lead. But they didn't end up showing up, but I think it was the right kind of outreach, and it was important that the invitation came from us. So the way this worked, Congresswoman Love basically functioned as the moderator of this, and the panelists were the presenters. So they all presented. Even the guy from the Office of Energy Development was relatively favorable on climate. He sort of came across as the dissenting vote or dissenting voice. But the only real dissent he gave was arguing that fracking and natural gas development was a big help in reducing greenhouse gas emissions, which is not something we really have any argument with. Utah is a fossil fuel state. We have both coal, oil, and natural gas, none of them in her district, but all of them quite present in the state and influential. So Jay flew in from D.C., and was part of the filming with the Years of Living Dangerously crew. This kind of gives you a sense of the tenor of the meeting. So this was the follow-up. This was a week later. Years of Living Dangerously filmed an interview, a meeting between Congresswoman Love and Congressman Curbelo and Jay Butera in D.C., where he was going to ask her on camera if she would join the Climate Solutions Caucus. And to our shock and surprise, she largely said no. She said, let's keep the door open, right? No decision yet. Because we all thought this was a warm-up to why would she even agree to be on camera if she wasn't going to say yes? So that was hard. And we now know she was pretty much just waiting for the right time, and this wasn't the right time yet. The right time being after the general election. So the Years of Living Dangerously episode came out right after the general election. And it told her story in a way that she didn't particularly like. It essentially said, we asked and she said no. And they contrasted it with the Lee Zeldin story, where a group of CCL members asked and he said yes. And they got back to us and let us know they weren't so happy with the portrayal and they wanted to be viewed in a more positive light on climate. So Jay worked with the Years of Living Dangerously to try to make it right with them. And they put together this 4-minute video telling the story of the town hall meeting. And that video ended with this clip. And they okayed the release of this information in that video of her joining the Climate Solutions Caucus. So this is what the Climate Solutions Caucus looked like shortly after she joined. She was there were a few more than seven at the time, but they left or there had been more than seven who had joined before her, but they were gone as of the election. So this was the first step that she took after joining the Climate Solutions Caucus, which was writing an op-ed in the Salt Lake Tribune, publicizing this, and telling Utahns that we can do both. We can address climate change without sacrificing the economy. I wouldn't call it a particularly strong op-ed calling for climate action, but in Utah, that counts as a resounding statement. Here's something she did more recently. Even some of my CCL colleagues in District 4 didn't really believe she was serious until they got this in the mail. So this is a survey to constituents publicizing much louder her participation in the Climate Solutions Caucus and her Climate Leadership Award from CCL, and then asking for constituent opinions. And this went to every constituent in her district, both liberal and conservative ends of it. So here's what the Climate Solutions Caucus looks like now. Matt Goetz, who recently joined, just replaced Congresswoman Love as the Climate Solutions Caucus member from the most Republican district. Almost everybody besides her is from swing districts. Her district is R plus 13. Matt Goetz's is something like R plus 22 from Florida Panhandle. So for a long time, she has been, to some degree, political cover for everyone else to look at and say, well, if she can do it from her district, then so can I from mine without paying a political risk. So this is what we're up to now. At the state legislative level, we're going to have three pieces of climate legislation introduced either by Republicans or with bipartisan co-sponsorship in the next state legislative session in January. One of those Republicans is hosting a climate event at the state capitol during the legislative session. We're inviting every member of the Utah legislation, and Congresswoman Love is going to speak by video at that event. We have a panel of business leaders, but this is our hope, and she's going to play a role in this. She has already played a role in this, of trying to move the entire state of Utah now to support on climate change. I don't expect necessarily to pass these pieces of climate legislation this year, but we're going to open up the conversation in a really, really big way in the state. And all of the legislators we're talking to are already realizing, and Congresswoman Love has a big role in this, that this is now an open topic among Republicans. And this is okay to talk about. And we know that Republicans are talking to other Republicans in the state about climate change.
Woo, awesome. Wow, I just love the honest respect and affection that is growing in these districts. It just is so beautiful to see and experience.
But just to close everything up and put a bow on it, here is the contact information for all of our speakers tonight. Ellie, Lisa, and Tom are generous enough to provide their email. If any of you have thoughts or want to make sure to follow up on this, get some advice on setting up your own event, my email is at the bottom. I'm always open for CCU feedback, how we can improve these types of lessons, how we can make them more accessible and more informational. And speaking of that, just to close tonight, I have a quote that really is meant to speak to all of you as volunteers. This comes from our recent Capitol campaign that just concluded. Somebody commented in their donation, "To all in CCL who have committed the best of themselves to address the climate crisis, that's you, and in doing so have also empowered each of us to find our civic voices, resulting in lasting, meaningful change. I am honored and humbled to be a part of that CCL legacy." And so thank you all for being on the call tonight. There's no doubt in my mind that all of you are going to do great things with the inspiring stories that Lisa and Tom and Ellie shared. And we wish you a wonderful beginning to your new year.
Thanks, Brett. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all. That was great. That was really, really nice to see you all. Good night.